Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As is our habit, would you read with me today's sermon title? It's upon the screen. Why did God give us the Bible? Based on our epistle lesson for today, Romans 15, just verse 4, St. Paul wrote, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope." I encourage you to find your service folder and on that folder find the outline as we consider our theme together, why God gave us the Bible. Let me ask you a question this morning. You think maybe you have the answer for it. Now, I'm not sure. Is it possible to have too much reverence for the Bible? Did you know that having too much reverence for God's Word, almost treating God's Word with a holy superstition, can prevent us from really hearing what God wants to say to us today in the Scripture? It's rumored that a man once decided to marry a woman named Grace simply because he opened his Bible one day and found this passage, "My grace is sufficient for you." Be careful, Ewald Wischke. Another person who was told held the Bible in so much reverence that he tried this old trick for seeking God's guidance. He closed his eyes, opened his Bible, and pointed his finger at a passage for guidance. And the first passage he read was, "Judas went and hanged himself." Well, not finding much comfort in that passage, he tried it again. And the verse said, "Go thou and do quickly." Not finding much help from that, he found the next one, "Go thou and do likewise." Yikes! Well, one day in high school, in the hallway of the high school, I was stopped by a real big guy who yelled at me because of the way I was carrying my Bible under my arm that day. I had my Bible under my arm, but some school books on top of it. And this big guy took me and pushed me against a wall and said, "That's no way to carry the good book." And I, with a kind of a shaky voice, said, "Well, have you ever read this good book?" And he said, "No, but we've got one on the coffee table at home in the living room." And how about the way so many Bibles look on the outside? Beautiful red Morocco leather cover, gold leaf onion skin pages, gold stamped Holy Bible on the cover of the book. As if the message inside this book had nothing to say to the clutter and the unholiness of our daily lives. Let me ask you, is the Bible a holy relic or is it a living word? When there's too much or even a false reverence for the Bible, God may not be allowed to speak to our everyday lives. This Advent and Christmas season is a time when God wants to speak to your lives, when He wants to touch your heart, when He wants to draw you especially to the Christ child and to Himself. The Bible contains a message that we need to hear every day. And the book of Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it says this, listen again. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and through the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope. My friends, every one of us, you and I and every person in this world today needs encouragement and hope, don't we? But we can miss out on these gifts of God if we miss out on how the Bible came to be, how it came to be written down, how it was first expressed, and how it comes to us today. My friends, the Bible didn't just drop from the heavens in golden tablets like that false cult the Mormons claim about their holy book. The Bible didn't drop from the sky with the King James Version of 1611 with these and thous and Jesus words written in red. The way the Bible came to us shouts encouragement and hope that the God it speaks of still speaks to us today. The Bible contains a word with an immediacy about it. You see, much of the Bible was first oral words spoken into the listening ears of others. There was a crisis. There was a war. There was a persecution. There was a time of slavery. There was a time of death, a time of deep need. And God the Holy Spirit inspired His spokesman to speak to that moment. So Moses said to the Pharaoh of Egypt, "Let my people go." So the prophet Isaiah said, "The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name his name Emmanuel, for he is God with us." So St. John quotes the very words that came from Jesus' lips when Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." I imagine those could have been the first words our dear Pearl Garland heard this week as she saw her Savior face to face. So St. Paul spoke to persecuted Christians in Rome, and he spoke out loud these words of Romans 15, verse 4, the text for today. "My friends," he said, "by the encouragement of Holy Scripture, you may have hope." The Bible is a written record of these spoken words, spoken, written down after the event, written down for future generations, written down for you and me today, to draw us to our Savior, to strengthen our faith, to give us encouragement and hope. The Bible contains a message from God through His spokesman to people. In the ups and downs of their daily lives, God's message comes to us from the book of Genesis, to the book of Psalms, to the Gospels of Christ, to the letters of St. Paul. And let me ask you, what about the words of Jesus? As far as we know, Jesus did not write one word in one book. He was too busy speaking to people in the workplace, at the home, at the marketplace, at the temple, on the road, at the cross, at the empty tomb. My friends, it is a miracle. It is a miracle and a gift of God that we have today in written words, the oral words of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the words of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, why did God give us the Bible? What did St. Paul say? He said that through the encouragement of Scripture, you might have hope. an eternal and a lasting hope that only comes through the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Martin Luther did say, all the Bible is a cradle, a manger, to deliver to us the Christ child. Behind the pages of the Bible, behind every single page of the Bible, are people like you and me, on the job, going to school, paying the bills, doing the laundry, living and dying. And the Bible is an account of God speaking to them and speaking to us. So we really need to listen. Listen to God speak to us through the words of the Bible. Not in some heavenly, unworldly, or churchly language, but in the language of the kitchen, the language of the street, the language of the workplace. The Bible is a holy dialogue. God speaks, people listen. People speak, God replies. So Almighty God said to our first parents, Adam and Eve in the garden, where are you? So the psalmist cries out, how long, O Lord? So Jesus tells one of his many parables, his stories, and then he says, well, what do you think? The Bible is a living encounter between the living God and human beings. The Bible is not a collection of academic statements about God. The Bible is not a list of instructions on how to live a successful life. The Bible is not a philosophy about the meaning of life. The Bible is a record of Almighty God coming to where we are to love us, to save us, to speak to us. You want some good news this morning? God does not demand that you clean yourself up, get everything all figured out, and have no doubts or fears before you come into His presence, because He is already here, listening to your cries, understanding your heart, speaking to your deepest need. Can you hear Him? He speaks in His holy word tenderly to you and clearly. He says, Robert, I love you. He says, Nadine, I am for you. He says, McCall, I wish one day to take you to live with me forever. The main objective of the Bible is to point us to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Jesus, Almighty God is as close to us as a manger in a stable, as a cross on a hill, as bread and wine on the altar, as a Bible preached from the pulpit or held in your own hands at home. In the Scriptures, God gives us His very love and His very power. Dying love for every sinner. Resurrection power over sin, death, and the grave. And the words and works of Jesus declare that He is Emmanuel. He is God with us in the middle of it all. The Bible proclaims to us a God who's with us in the middle of it all. The Old Testament declares there was once a devastating flood, and where was God? He was in the middle of it all. It shares that Joseph had a family fight, a family feud with 11 brothers. And where was God? He was in the middle of that. The Bible doesn't hide the fact that King David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and God got into the middle of that. The Bible shares the very armies of the Babylonian conquerors were at the gates of Jerusalem. And where was God? He was in the middle of that. In the New Testament, in Jesus' teaching about the kingdom of God, he uses parables. Everyday stories about everyday life. He tells us about a man who was beaten and robbed by thieves on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. He tells us about a woman who loses a precious coin in her own house. He tells us about a young boy who ran away from home and his father who loved him. He tells us about a shepherd chasing after one of his dumb, lost sheep. The God of the Bible, do you catch it? Is not a God above our lives and our concerns. He's not a God who doesn't care about our lives and concerns. He speaks to us. If we listen. Are you listening? God is a God of the Bible who speaks to us if we listen. And now comes my commercial. I know that quite often you hear from me an invitation to come to Sunday Bible class, to Sunday school, to Tuesday men's study, to women's Wednesday study, to adult instruction class, to family confirmation class, to Friday night youth fellowship, to faithfully hear the word proclaimed from the pulpit, to have your private devotions at home. Why do I say such things? So that Almighty God can speak to your heart the message he has just for you, so that he can give you his gifts of encouragement and hope you can find nowhere else in this world, but that in his holy word. How poor, how weak, how impoverished is the faith of too many of God's people. Because they do not partake of the feast that God weekly and daily provides in the study of his own word. My friends, there's a real big need for us today to get away from over-spiritualizing the Bible and the church and our faith. Do you have a false reverence for the Bible that says, I can't read the Bible on my own. I might misunderstand it. Or that says, I can't attend Bible class because people in that class know so much more than I do. Or, I just decided to put my Bible on the shelf and let the pastor handle all the Bible stuff. Or maybe, do you come to worship? Go to church to get away from real life, to retreat into a spiritual atmosphere, to deny the mud and muck of your Saturday through Monday lives? This is not the faith of the Scriptures. This is not the Christian faith. If these things continue, they can result in an attitude that says, God and the Bible are just not relevant to me. He has nothing in the Bible to speak to me of a value today. There's really no way I can ever figure out this puzzle called life. You and I both know, sometimes the picture of life can seem like a puzzle with some of the pieces all mixed up. The story is told of a father. And if you're following the sermon outline, we're now at the conclusion. The story is told of a father who was busy at home working on a project. But his little son wanted to help him. And his dad knew that the little boy, although well-intended, would just get in the way. So the father found a huge picture puzzle of the world, of the planet Earth, and said, "Go, son, you can help dad by putting this picture puzzle together," figuring that would buy him plenty of time to get his job done. But to the father's amazement, this little boy came back in a relatively short time with the puzzle all completed. And the father said, "How could you possibly put that puzzle together so quickly?" And the little boy said, "Oh, Daddy, that was easy. On the back of the puzzle was a picture of Jesus. I just put Jesus' face together. And that put the world together just right." If the Bible could speak out loud to you today, it would say this: don't run frantically here and there, trying on your own power and strength to put the pieces of your life together. There is one who can do that for you. His name is Jesus. He is the one I hold. He is the one every page I contain points to. Indeed, in the words of John's Gospel, in chapter 20, verse 31, listen to these words. John wrote, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these things are written, so that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing in him, you may have life in his name." Listen again one last time as God speaks to you from our sermon text today, from Romans 15, which gives us the answer, why did God give us the Bible? Paul wrote, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of Scripture, you might have hope." Thank you, dear Lord, that you continue to speak to us today in every page of the Bible, pointing us to Jesus, giving us your encouragement and your hope. In the name of Jesus, amen.